So one of the things I want to say about these calls is that it's great to be here live. You can also, it's always okay if you're not here live. You do not need to let me know whether you're going to be here or not, because you can always catch the recording later. I got so many really thoughtful emails from a lot of you today that couldn't make it for whatever reason, and that's great. That's fine, but you don't need to let me know from here on out. The Facebook or these calls are going to be, I'm going to promise you that I'm always going to do my best, and we're going to get as much information in as we can in the hour and 15 minutes. I will always coach as many people as I can and answer as many questions as I can. If you don't get your coaching or you don't get your question answered, please don't take it personally, because I'm just doing everything as it comes. I am going to try to make sure, you know, if you get coaching on this call and you want coaching again next call, I'll probably put you at the end of the queue so that we can kind of try to keep it balanced and that the people who want the opportunities for coaching can get it. But please know I'm doing my best. If you have any questions left over or you want to get some coaching and you want to do that via the Facebook group, that's always fine too. So if I don't get you in for some reason, think to yourself, you know, how else can I get my question answered, or how can I get support on this? And you can use the Facebook group as well. If you have technical questions about accessing the portal or about, you know, how to get in the Facebook group or whatever, please send an email to support@jenverheron.com. I am not very technical. I can help. I've been kind of trying to pitch hit and help you guys this week, but some of the time I can't help you. But I am so happy because we have had almost no technical issues this time, which is like a freaking miracle if you've done a program with me before. I do want to say, when you use the password, if some of you are having trouble still getting into the portal, there is an exclamation point at the end of the password. In the back of my mind, I was like, oh, I know this is going to be a problem, but it is recommended to have another character in there. So that exclamation point after the go is there for a reason. So just make sure if you're not able to get in, just make sure you've got the full password. Before you ask questions, make sure that you watch the intro logistics video and read the emails. And if you don't have an answer to your question after you've done those two things every month, then ask a question. And I'm not talking about the call questions right now. I'm just talking about sort of logistical, technical questions. If you are not receiving the emails at this point, you should have received an autoresponder, which means when you signed up, you would have gotten an email. You should have received an email on Monday. That was an intro email with all the info, and you should have then received this call reminder. If you have not received those emails, what that means is that the email has been sent to you, to the email you used to sign up, but it means your email provider is not giving it to you, not sending it to you. There is nothing we can do to help you with that. The only thing we can do is, if you want to give us another email, we'll plug that into the system and you will reliably get the emails. If you don't have a Gmail account, or if you don't have a Gmail email and you are not getting the emails, I would recommend you get a Gmail email, because that is one service that is free and reliable and easy to set up. Okay, so, you know, you can complain to support or complain to me that you're not getting the email, but there's not anything we can do about it, because that's really between you and your email server. So my recommendation is to get a Gmail account and give that email to us. Okay, Facebook group rules. I didn't go over those in the intro video because I want to cultivate the Facebook groups. Historically, for all my programs, has been such an awesome addition to the learning and the growth that happens in these programs. It is a safe, supportive, warm place to go. It is a safe, supportive, warm place to take questions, to, you know, to learn. There are no stupid questions in that Facebook group. And I work hard to keep it that way. There are some rules about it. The number one, well, there's three rules about the kinds of posts. No victim mentality, no victiming in there. And a victim mentality is kind of poor me, everything's bad, everyone else is doing great, I'm not doing well, blah, blah, blah. That is not allowed in the Facebook group because that's not fair energy to bring in for everyone else. The alternative to that is to make a request. If you're having a challenge or things aren't going well or you're not understanding the material or it's just not working for you, you come in and make a request. Does anyone have any ideas for me? Does anyone, has anyone had this experience before? What are some things I can do? Ask me for some coaching in the Facebook group, whatever. But make sure that if you're going to share a challenge, that it is there is some sort of a question or a request attached to that challenge and that it's not just complaining or what I call victiming. The other thing about the Facebook group is we don't give each other advice. We brainstorm with one another. We share our experience and we offer ideas, but no language like you should really do this. This is what happened to me and this is I did. I think you should do that. You should try this. You should try that. What happens is that in our regular life, that's what we're used to getting from our families. That's what we're used to getting from our friends, because the tendency for human beings, if someone comes to us with a problem, we want to help. We want to fix it. So that's normally how we interact with our friends and with our family. And that is not how we're going to interact here. Because the whole purpose of going through a coaching process or being a part of a program like this is that you learn ways to access your own wisdom, your own ideas, and resource yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't, utilize your resources around you and get ideas and get support and all of that. But it means that you don't say, can somebody give me advice, and then have a bunch of people telling you what to do. Okay, so the Facebook group is generally an advice-free zone. So catch yourself if you start to say, oh, you should do this. Or, it's okay to say, this is what happened to me. Have you thought about this? That's fine. But just no direct advice. Okay, the Facebook group is for posting ideas, memes, articles that are relevant to performance project topics. When I went archived the last group, I went through and just so many amazing, articles and photos and quotes and ideas that are generated by this group. Please feel free to post those and make your own post. Okay. If you have a comment or a question and you want a response from me or you want support from the group, it's much better to comment on the daily thread. And what I mean by daily thread is every day I will make a post. And no matter what that post is about, that is your place to jump in with a comment or a request for coaching or something, because everybody in the group gets pinged every time somebody makes a post. If you want to, have a comment or get some help, if you put it in the comment, you're not going to be pinging everybody in the group. And when we have groups now of, like 50 now, and it'll probably be 100 by the time we're, into this, you do not want to be pinging everybody, and you don't want to be pinged every time somebody makes a post. So make posts if you have ideas, memes, articles that are relevant that you want to use to inspire people. But if it's a question or a comment, use the daily thread. If the Facebook group is too much for you, it's too much input, it's sucking your time, you're using it to distract yourself or to procrastinate, if it's feeding into what maybe is already, a time-sucking habit of yours, be really intentional about how you use this group and incorporate that into maybe also how you use Facebook in general, and limit yourself. Turn off the notifications. Check in for an hour once a week instead of letting yourself get sucked in every time, someone makes a comment or a post in the group, okay? So I really encourage you to modify the way you use the Facebook group to whatever works for you. I have had people in these programs that I didn't even know were in the program that never made a peep on the Facebook group. And they said, oh my God, the program was amazing. I got so much out of it. And I never heard anything from them. So you use the Facebook group is up to you. You may never make a post. You may never contribute. But I do encourage you to be a part of the community and have a level of engage, whatever level of engagement is comfortable for you. Okay, using this program, so I love the enthusiasm, I love the energy of all your questions. What I want to encourage you to not do is overconsume and overthink. If you take so much intensity to the assignments and to the process that it becomes stressful and it becomes a burden and it becomes a weight for you, That is not constructive. And if you have a tendency to do that here, you probably have a tendency to do that other places in your life. And you might find that that has a tendency sometimes to block you or get you stuck if you take things sort of too seriously or you're too intense about them. So kind of ask yourself, you know, where are you on this intensity scale in terms of how you are consuming the information and the exercises and things that we're going to do, and keep yourself like at a 5, like, okay, I'm committed to this. I'm going to use this process. I'm going to use this information, and I'm going to make it fit in with the rest of my life. I'm not going to let this take over or let me let myself go into overwhelm about it. It is not an opportunity to compare yourself to other people. And it's really, I always have at the beginning of every group, you know, somebody says, oh, well, it seems like everybody's a venter, so I'm out because I'm a dressage rider. Or it seems like everybody has fear issues about riding on the trails and I don't, so I'm out. You know, there's really none of that. This program, like I said in the intro video, is about its personal and professional development, and it is performance skill development in the saddle, and it's personal and professional development in your life. If you don't fall into any one of those categories, I don't know where you're going to fall. But the point is that you are not going to share, you're not going to be just like everyone else in the group, but you are going to find that you have a lot in common with lots of different people. You're going to find some things you really identify with and that make a lot of sense to you and that you really learn and gain from. And you're going to find sometimes that there are things that just aren't interesting to you or don't apply to you, and you can just leave them. So I would encourage you to be really smart about taking, you know, learning from what is relevant to you and letting the other stuff go, or maybe being open to the idea that maybe some of the things you don't think are relevant to you quite possibly could be. Trainers. I got a whole bunch of trainers in the program. What I've learned in the past is that trainers tend to participate less than the rest of than adult amateurs, and that is totally fine. Some trainers participate a whole bunch, and I always just appreciate that so much. If you are a trainer, I would encourage you, you actually get a whole nother level of benefit out of this program, because every time you hear someone getting coached, it's like one of your students. Every time you learn a new concept, maybe it doesn't apply to you, but it could apply to one of your students. So I would encourage my trainers that are in this group to really be asking yourself all the time, you know, okay, well, maybe this doesn't apply to me, but I could really use it for such and such a person in my program, or this makes a lot of sense. I'm going to save it, you know, put it in my toolkit for later or whatever. Okay, so that's all that said. I would encourage you, if you have more questions, housekeeping type of questions that I have not addressed here, feel free to ask those in the Facebook group. I'm going to jump in and start with, and this is going to be kind of the process of every call. I'll start with housekeeping, and I'll go right into questions, and then we'll go right into coaching. The first question is from Teresa, and she is looking how to reword one of her intentions from the negatively worded no more deer in headlights into a positive, empowered statement and develop a mantra to accompany it. So this is a really important, I love how she said to reword. We can reword, we can reframe, we can transform. And I'm going to, this is a perfect question to start with. I'm so glad that this was the first question, because one of the fundamental concepts we're going to be working with is the idea that your thoughts create your emotions and your emotions create your actions or your results that you get. So if you, it's not, and no circumstance can create your feelings. There are no circumstances that can make you feel any way. You really need to start to identify where your thoughts are originating. If your thoughts are the things that are triggering your emotion and then triggering your experience and then and triggering your results. When you, let's say this deer in the headlights, use this deer in the headlights example. Let's say there's an experience that Teresa had that caused her to feel like a deer in the headlights. Let's say somebody said something really surprising that shocked her and upset her. So if that happens and you start to feel like, oh my God, what do I do? Like just panic. And if you saw the picture she posted, it was a great photo of a deer in the headlights. my response to her was to post a lion, a calm lion. Because here's the thing, I always say this to my writing students, you get 7 seconds to act on instinct, and after that, your logical mind needs to kick in. So 7 seconds you have to be a deer in the headlights if there's a situation that surprises you or takes you off guard. And then you say to yourself, okay, what are the thoughts that are causing me to feel so vulnerable and like I want to flee? And the thought in that situation might be, you know, I can't believe that this person just said that, or who does she think she is, or oh my gosh, am I really that, you know, bad, or whatever it is. And then you have 7 seconds to become the lion. And the lion is in control, is calm. And if you embody a lion takes time, doesn't react suddenly like a deer, doesn't flee when there's in danger. A lion takes in all the information, slowly makes a decision about what to do next, and then does that thing very intentionally. So that would be one of my suggestions, and there could be more. I'll invite you guys to kind of chime in on the Facebook group about some different ways to transform or reword that no more deer in headlights might be, I am a lion. I am a lion, instead of no more deer in headlights. Because every time you say to yourself, no more deer in headlights, that's what comes to mind. So this idea of rewording from a negative to a positive is really important. So Teresa, I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so go from being a victim, a prey, like a deer, to being a predator who's calm and acts logically. All right, so thoughts to feelings to actions. As we go into the coaching later tonight, I want you guys really to think about that, because this is the hardest concept to get, because we're all so aware of our feelings and we think that our circumstances make us feel certain ways. So this is going to be a really important thread to everything we talk about tonight. Okay, next question is, is it best for us to try to work through the modules for the month before the coaching call? I'm not able to tackle this month's recording for a few days, and I don't want to be behind or not fully utilize the call option for coaching, though this is, of course, as you say, lots to learn from others too. Thanks. So what I would say to that is absolutely not. You do not have to go through all the material. I don't want you to go through all the material before the calls, because part of the intention of having this program be a monthly subscription and be a year long is that we take out that sense of urgency to overconsume. So what I would recommend every month, the calls happen early on in the month. So watch that. There's going to be an overview video for every module. So, you know, when you go into the portal, there's the list of audios, and there's always going to be an overview video before those. So the only thing I would recommend you do before the calls is watch the overview video. And then use the calls to, you know, we're going to be always following up from last month's stuff on the calls and looking forward, but you'll have at least an idea of what we're, you know, going into for the month. But definitely do not feel like you need to use to listen to all of the audios or go through the workbook, that month's workbook, before the calls. All right, another question. So how to organize my projects so I get them started and I'm able to sustain them weekly. Full-time job with significant changes happening this year, eating healthy, exercising, new young horse to work with consistently, and the goal of sitting on him once the groundwork is well established and sitting riding him with confidence. Oh my gosh, that probably sounds familiar to everyone, right? When you think about, okay, what are my goals for the year? There's this list a mile long that can go through your head of all the things that are important to you and all the things you want to get done. Okay, so this is part of what this process is all about. What I want to say to you is that you're first going to zoom out. You're not going to think about all that stuff. You're not going to think about all the details and all the goals and all the projects. You're going to zoom out and you're going to ask yourself, where am I headed? Where do I want to be 5 years from now? Not 6 months from now, 5 years from now. Where is all this going to lead? When you've created a clear vision, and there's another question here about vision, so we're going to revisit this. When you've created a clear vision for yourself, it will help you identify the areas in your life that are most important to you. And I'd like you, the assignment is there's not room in the workbook or in your strategic plan for more than 4 goals. That's your maximum. You don't get to have 6 goals or 10 goals. You only get 4. And if you're really good at this, maybe you only have 2 or 3, but you only get 4 goals. But your vision is about your entire life. What do you want to have happen? What are the most important things to you? Then when you zoom in to look at your goals, you will have already decided, your vision will have helped you decide, okay, clearly riding is really important to me, my riding accomplishments, what that's meant. Clearly my family is really important to me because part of my vision is, you know, my relationships with my family and how my, you know, kids are, what my relationships are like. Clearly health and fitness is really important to me because in my vision, that's one of the things that, you know, I really felt into was how fit and healthy and active I am, how much energy I have. Okay. So health and fitness is important. Clearly creativity is important to me because in my vision, I had started, you know, doing art or I had written a novel or whatever it is. Okay. So there's your 4 things. When we zoom in to the 6 months, you only get 4 goals. You only get to identify what's the most important thing in my riding that I want to have happen in the next 6 months or the next year. What's the most important thing in my health that needs to happen in the next 6 months or the next year? What's the most important thing in terms of creativity that I want to cultivate? Okay. What's the most important thing that needs to happen with my family relationships? Okay. And here's the thing, you guys, and some of you that have done this work before and have worked with me before, what you know to be true subconsciously, if not consciously, is that when you really work one goal and that starts to happen, it has a ripple effect. It allows you to start accomplishing all the other little goals that you thought you needed to work hard on or focus on, but it turns out you don't when you focus on just that one thing. So this is such a great question. And as you go through this process, please recognize that a big part of the assignment is choosing. You choose the areas in your life that you want to have goals in, and you choose those 4 goals. You are not allowed to have more, and you can complain and whine and stall and do what I call circling and snorting all you want, but I'm asking you to choose. And the most important part, if this is you, this might not be you, but if this is you, this person with all the projects and all the ideas and all the goals, the most important thing is not what you decide your goal is, it's that you claim it. Claim something, anything, because the important thing is that you focus and you start moving in a direction. The important thing is not what that goal is. I promise. It is not important what it is. What is important is that you choose something. And when we did the performance project last time, there were a whole bunch of people that said, oh, I could never choose a goal. I could never do a goal. They couldn't decide, hemming and hawing, and couldn't come up with it, couldn't think of it, couldn't choose it. And I'm telling you right now, that is not an option here. This is the exercise. Let go. Pick the goal that's going to have the biggest ripple effect, that's going to have the biggest impact on your life, and choose those goals because that's where you're going to focus, and let everything else go for a while. You cannot fit 10 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag. If you keep trying, you are going to keep circling and snorting. So part of this program is getting it down to 5 pounds of shit instead of 10. Okay, that is part of this process. It's not easy, but it's that simple. Okay, so that is what we're up to here. So when you start, and it might be sort of painful for you to let go of some of those ideas or some of those projects, but what I'd like you to ask yourself, what's the one project that's going to make the biggest difference and clear the way for some of these other projects that I can focus on later on? What needs to happen first? What is my priority? So one exercise you can do is say, you know, you're in your horse life, you've got all of these ideas, all of these things, write them all down, and then ask yourself, which one is the most important? Which one is going to make all the other ones possible? And that's your goal. That's where you put your focus. Okay, and this is a question we'll keep coming back to and back to, but you should end up at the end of the month with 4 and only 4 or 3 and only 3 goals. Okay, so again, you're going to have a vision, you're going to have goals, and then for each of those goals, you're going to have strategies and action steps. Next question. So how to devise an actionable plan that won't make me feel overwhelmed. I work 40 to 50 hours a week. I have a PEMF business in addition, a toddler, I'm a wife. Fitness is important. Eating healthy is important. Property chores and improvements are important. Riding my horse is important. Trying to sell horses is important. I get overwhelmed and just give up. I've been doing our small actionable tasks, and then when I do that, everything else goes by the wayside. Okay, such a great question. Probably it's a little similar to the last one. You can see yourself in it. So overwhelm is not an emotion. Overwhelm is a thought, and that triggers anxiety. You can choose to be overwhelmed, or you can choose to continue focusing, putting one foot in front of the other and one foot in front of the other and trusting. So if you tend to be a person who goes into overwhelm, or you know, like you see all these audios and you see the work and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do all this and do all the other stuff? You take a deep breath and you either choose what's the most important thing to do, or you just pick it out of a hat. Because if you don't focus on a few things and let all the other stuff go, you will not move forward at all. So Jamie, and you've experienced this a little bit. My request to you is that you think about the thoughts you're having that are triggering overwhelm. And I had to practice this the last couple of weeks because I was launching two programs right at the same time. And I had a lot of other regular life stuff going on. And I had to keep saying, you know, every time I would go to do something, I would feel like, oh my God, but I should be doing this. And I have this whole list in my head that I would run through. And what that would do is take away from my efficiency and my presence and the thing I was doing. So I found myself, like, even in the morning when I go to work out, I'd be like, okay, God, you know, I shouldn't work out because I've got all these other things to do. And then I would say, no, I know how important this is. I reframe it. This is where I'm going to be right now. Everything else will work out. Everything else will fall into place. I am going to trust that everything is going to get done. So it's not so much about whether you get all the stuff done or not. It's about the experience you create for yourself, the sense of peace and calm that you create for yourself that will allow you to focus and get things done. So, if you're someone who gets overwhelmed, I would invite you to practice noticing what are the thoughts that trigger the overwhelm and what thoughts do you want to have instead? What thoughts trust that every day you're going to get done what is supposed to get done. And it might involve letting some things go. So again, you're going to hear me talk about that a lot. Finding the thought that's triggering the emotion, changing the thought, and being willing to let things go. All right, next question. Keely, similar to Ellen, next steps. When a goal has been achieved and things are going well, your training progress is positive and it's more important to remain motivated and have quality improvement in workouts with soundness, but you really would like to show and enjoy camaraderie with horses and friends. So without sacrificing the enjoyment of what you've achieved. So I'd love to show, I'd love to go to Devon, I'd love to go to Whidbey, yada, yada, where to start and remain on an upward trajectory. I love this question. This is, okay, so we have, you know, places when you've just accomplished a goal, it can feel like you get a great feeling. It can be, you have a sense of accomplishment, achievement. It's a sigh of relief. You know, it's awesome. And then you get a hangover. And the hangover of having accomplished a goal is usually, okay, what next? You know, I don't have that intensity. I don't have that, that drive. I just like, where am I now? And I sometimes call this beyond survival, because sometimes we have goals that are really to get us out of a bad situation, to clean things up. Like, to use an example for trainers, you know, if I have a trainer come to me and they're really overwhelmed and strung out in their business, we have survival goals, right? They have survival goals. Just to, let's get the schedule working. Let's get the payment working. Let's get your time management working. Let's get all this, plug all the leaky holes in the business. Okay, so that it's working well, so that you have time, so that, you know, all the cogs are going. Once that's happened, then you can do what I call a beyond survival goal. And you can start to think about, okay, how do I want to expand this or grow it? How do I want to pivot it to a different kind of client? Or how do I want to now have a competitive goal to take me to the next level? And you can kind of stand on the shoulders of having accomplished that survival goal that was just about fixing things. So for you, Keely, what I know about your situation is that Keely had a horse who was not sound and very challenging. There were fear issues involved on both sides. And she has diligently in the last year worked step by step to work her way through the soundness issues and through the fear issues. And now she's to the point where she can take her horse places, like come to take a lesson from me, and she feels confident about that. Now she's like, okay, I accomplished this goal, but if I want to go do all these other things, I'm afraid it's going to take me back into my old patterns. I'm afraid maybe I'm going to feel too much pressure and it's going to trigger us to go backwards. Or I have now this all this fear and doubt coming in again. Because what happens is when you accomplish a goal, you move past all the fear and doubt. You know, because if you don't have to move past fear and doubt to accomplish a goal, it wasn't really a goal. It was something that was going to happen anyway. If you have to move past fear and doubt in order to accomplish a goal, I guarantee you that it was worth accomplishing. So now Keely's in a position where she's accomplished something that was really meaningful and worthwhile, and now she's the next goal is starting to brew. And it can feel kind of intimidating to then realize, oh my gosh, I have a whole other set of self-doubt and fear to work through. And that's what this is all about. So my recommendation is whenever you accomplish a goal is to just give yourself some time. Let yourself be a little bit in the hangover, kind of feel the feels, enjoy where you're at, and then allow that next adventure, that next goal to percolate and bubble up. I have an example that I love. One of my clients, he had a goal of doing a particular time in a marathon. And he, you know, worked on all year, and then he ran, it was a big deal to him. He ran the marathon. He, you know, made his time, and he's a super intense person. He got done with it, and he was so depressed. As soon as he accomplished that goal, it was like, boom, he just hit the ground. It's almost like the goal had been propping him up. And what we talked about at the time was really this idea of letting that time be where the next goal sort of percolates and incubates, and allowing yourself some downtime, allowing yourself to enjoy it, and just trust that the next goal is going to come along. And his next goal turned out to be something that sort of percolated while he was in his downtime. He did his own personal, can't remember what he called it, but it was like a mega marathon where he invited all his friends and family to join him for particular legs. And he designed a course in Seattle, and he ran his own ultra marathon in Seattle with different friends and family joining him all along the way. And that's the goal that he kind of allowed to percolate instead of saying, oh my God, I got to go do another marathon and making another goal. Because he gave himself some time, he created a goal that was just ultimately so much more fulfilling and fun and meaningful for him. So that's an example of a reason why it's good to take a little bit of a break and let yourself have some downtime. And then Keely, for you now, it's setting a goal that's in alignment with all those things you want, the sense of community and fun and the freedom you get to now have with your horse. And as we go through the program, you're going to be learning to reframe your thoughts to get past the fear and doubt that gets in the way as you move forward towards that goal. So my answer to your question is go for it, set those goals. And if all the thoughts you have about being afraid of going backwards or you know, in any fear or doubt that comes in, you are going to trust that you are going to work through those later on. Okay, so goals are not about how you're going to get there. They're just about what you desire. Okay, so you are now beyond survival. Okay, a specific thing I'd like to tackle this year is adding canter work to my jumping. This is from Courtney. I can trot poles and cross rails all day. Oh, this is coaching. So I'm going to go ahead and now ask Courtney to come on for coaching. Courtney Beck, if you are on the line, can you press *6? And that is you. So Courtney Beck, press *6. And if you guys do request coaching on a call, my request is that you be on the call, or let me know if you're not going to be on the call if you do request coaching, because that'll save us some time. So Courtney, are you there? You are awesome, Courtney. Hello, hello.
Hey, Jen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, yay.
All right, so lay it out for us. What is your coaching question? What do you want to leave this conversation with?
Sure. So what I'm trying to think through is, I guess, my goals for the year and how big or specific they should be. I'd say the really good news is I'm in a really different place than I was last year. I don't have this just all-encompassing fear, which is amazing, but I do still have a couple of, you know, specific fears. And the hand-wearing thing is one of them. You know, I can do some things, but like I can trot things, but when I can canter, but when I try to put these things together, even just cantering a pole, it just brings this whole new level of panic. And I guess what I'm trying to think through is when you were saying earlier about, you know, the thing that would cause the biggest difference and just unlock everything else, that feels like something that would do that for me. It feels like it would just take me to a different place in my training, but it also just feels like such a roadblock. So I don't know if that's what a goal should look like or not.
Yes, great. So is your question is so that you'd like to end, you'd like to get out of this conversation the answer to should I make cantering, being able to canter a goal or not? Is that right?
Correct. Or is that just a milestone for something else?
If you could canter, if you were comfortable cantering a cross rail and you got so that you could canter around the arena and that you could do trot canter transitions, like they're just going back and forth between a gate. There's no more fear. And you already know what that's like, right? To transform from having those paralyzing fears to now being able to do cross rails and poles.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to change your life?
What that would change is it would allow me to truly school as an eventer. You know, like right now I can school dressage, I can school parts of it, but I don't feel that I can truly be practicing the different phases. If I was able to canter the poles and start working towards other things, that would allow me to school at my level and improve.
Okay, so you like to be able to, how would you describe it? Is it like, I wrote down cantering freely. Is that, so you canter freely. So that means you can canter poles, you can canter cross rails, and you can kind of canter whenever you want.
That would be right. But it's not the cantering, it's the adding any element in front of me when I canter.
Okay. So right now you can canter around the arena. It's just, you can't canter poles or cross rails without the fear. Okay.
Exactly.
Great. So I canter poles and cross rails confidently.
Yeah.
This allows me to build my skills, right? My venting skills. And I feel like an adventure.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So will you write that down?
Yep.
So write that down. I canter poles. Mm-hmm. And cross rails confidently.
Yep.
This allows me to build my eventing skills and feel like an eventer.
Got it.
What's your time frame on this? When would you like to be able to do this?
Oh, yesterday. I mean, my trainer and I had set it as a winter goal. Because we both feel like it should be achievable. It's the next thing. So, I mean, ideally, we'd be able to do it, you know, by March. We've got the next couple months with an indoor.
Okay, so by the 1st of March or by March 31st?
I'll say March 31st.
Okay, so by March 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it matter to you? Why does it matter to you to feel like an inventor and be able to build your skills?
Because I think it looks like a ton of fun and I want to be able to do this and pursue it and follow what's fun and not be limited by the fear. It just feels like a way to have a lot of fun with my horse and fun with friends and just a really nice way to spend time.
Okay, so write this down.
A little bit more of it. Yeah.
I get to pursue my dream and have fun with my horse and my friends. Write that down.
Okay.
And then will you read that out loud to us once you have it all written down?
By March 31st, I canter poles and cross rails confidently. This allows me to move forward with my training and become an eventer. I can have fun with my horse and my friends and pursue my dreams.
Beautiful. So how did it feel to you to say that out loud?
it's exhilarating. It's the next step of what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm with a group that would accept me at any level. So I just want to be able to get to that level where I can play too.
Yeah, so you already have the resources. You already have your team in place.
I do.
Okay, so this is super important. I cannot tell you how perfect this conversation is for this point. Like, you just brought the perfect thing, because did you feel how every time you would go to think about the limitations and how things are now, it would stop you from being able to even describe this experience? And as soon as I asked you about the future and what it would be like and what it would mean and how you would feel, I mean, I don't know, I think everybody on the call could hear the lightness in you. And this is the epitome of a goal, is something that is a stretch, but that you have been told is reasonable. And this is what I want everybody to hear right now. When you're creating your goals and your vision, you've got to let go of the emotions and the problems of the here and now. It doesn't mean that you disregard them or that you're getting too big for your britches or anything. What it means is you're going to focus now on what you want when you're creating your goals. And then when you get to the strategic part, now, Courtney, then you get to think about, okay, so I have these issues. What's going to be my strategy? Where am I going to start? And you already know from the process you went through the performance project, what's that like, what that's like to break that down into really small pieces and you know, and gradually work through the fear issues. And of course, next month we're going to be talking about the mind mastery stuff, so you'll be able to jump right back into that. So you're in a good example of exactly what Keely was talking about. You're beyond survival. Your survival was just to get riding without fear. Now you're riding without fear. This is the only thing, this is just the next thing. And so this next set of fear and doubt, you can get through the same way you got through the last set of fear and doubt.
That is super
exciting. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's so exciting, right?
I
can just hear. I mean, it's so exciting. Let yourself make this goal. Unleash yourself from the fear and the doubt so that you can get super cozy with this goal and with this person that has already accomplished the goal. The more you can access her in your daily riding, the more you're going to move towards that goal. But if you don't let yourself set the goal because it feels like such a big roadblock, you don't get to access that person who has the courage and the confidence to canter around a little course or canter across the road. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It's totally awesome. And part of me is like, oh, it feels impossible. But the other thing felt impossible 6 months ago and it happened. So I'm excited.
Right. Exactly. So everybody, please hear what she just said. When you set a good goal, half of you should feel like it's impossible. And half of you should feel like, oh my God, yes, I can do this. Because those are two, it's not a stretch goal if it doesn't feel a little hard. And we don't in this program ever avoid things because of what we are afraid might happen. So you are not going to avoid setting this goal because you're afraid you might not accomplish it, because you know that as you go towards this goal, you are going to be able to be creative about your strategy. You're going to be able to move the goalpost if you need to. You're going to make really good decisions all along the way so that there's going to be no disappointment involved. And if there is disappointment, you're going to be able to process it and handle it. So there's no risk involved in setting this goal, only courage. Awesome. Any questions?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Will you keep us posted as things go along in the Facebook
group?
Of course,
definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, so let's see. Who's next? Lorraine, are you on the line, Lorraine? If you are, can you please press *6? Give her just a second. And then let's see, who else do I have on my list? If Ellen, if you're here, and Christine, if you are here. Oh, wait, no, sorry, wait. Courtney is next. So Courtney Secor and Barbie Asplund, you guys be ready to press *6. All right, and if there's Lorraine. Oops. Lorraine, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. All right. So how is California?
It's warmer and sunnier here.
It's warmer and sunnier?
Yes.
Good. That's a good thing. Okay, kind of lay out for me right now two things. What do you want to get out of this conversation? And then just briefly what the question is, what your situation is.
So I think I got out of what you said at the beginning of your marathon runner. I'm really struggling on the professional side a lot.
Wait, you know what? You're cutting in and out a lot. Is there any way that you could improve the connection? It's really hard to hear you.
Is that better?
Yes. There you go. Okay, start over.
Sorry. So I think I'm kind of in the same place as your run guy professionally. So part of my issue when I did was lacking a vision professionally. I think I have an accomplishment hangover physically. I mean, I upped and moved to California.
Yeah.
So I think I just give that time. But for writing perspective, I accomplished my dressage goals last year, but they were kind of secondary. And I feel good about, but I feel like maybe they weren't enough. The venting goals I didn't accomplish. So I'm not sure, were they not realistic goals? Were they just interested because I had to pick up my professional life and move it 1,300 miles? And I should have similar goals again. But I'm really struggling with writing goals. Okay, I feel like I'm not really sure what was wrong, I'd achieve it, and
okay,
what to do.
Okay, so let's focus on the writing goals. What would you like out of this conversation?
I'd like to figure out how to set my dressage venting goals for this year so that I feel like I'm going to achieve them, but that they're not too easy that I'm like half-assing the goal.
Okay, great. So what I heard you say is that you set venting goals last year and you did not achieve them. And
correct.
What I would like you, and Courtney, Secor, this was your same question too, I think. What I would like you to consider is that every time you set a new goal, you set it from a new place. It's not like, you know, last year there were lots of reasons you didn't accomplish your goal. You know, it wasn't for lack of trying. It never is. There are always, you know, and I'm not saying excuses. I'm saying reasons. Excuses are things you make up in your head and try to convince everyone, including yourself, that they are reasons. Reasons are things that actually happen in time and space. So now you get to set a goal from a whole new place. And you always want to set a goal based on the future, what you desire, not on the past. Quite honestly, the past is no indicator of what's possible in the future, because we are human beings. We are growing. We are evolving. We are changing. Our circumstances are changing. We always are. New resources are becoming available to us. New opportunities are happening. So if we always make goals based on our past experience, we are going to be constantly limiting ourselves. So if you were now to set an eventing goal based on what you want, not thinking about what happened last year or telling yourself any stories about that, just on what you want, what would that goal look like?
I think that would look like trying not to think backwards, and I'm really struggling. I want to stay back to where we were before, and I know that's not right.
Great. So what she just said, I think your phone is still cutting in and out, so I'm going to try to translate so that people can hear. What you just said was something about F words and something about not really you want to set a goal that you want it to be realistic, right? You don't want to set a goal that's going to set yourself up to not achieve.
Correct. And I don't know, it's not right to focus on where we were before, and I'm still struggling to get away from that in my goal.
Right. So you don't want your goal to be, you want to get back to eventing like you were 5 years ago. That's always important that we don't set a goal. Oh, I want to get back to my high school weight, or I want to be as confident as I was 10 years ago. It's important not to reference the past. So describe for me at the end of this year, what would you like to be able to say had happened in your eventing life?
I would like to have confidently completed beginner novice events, being competitive, as in clean in all three phases, and being confident I can do that when I go to a show, not wondering if I do that, so that we can move up to novice next year.
Okay, so I confidently complete a beginner novice event, and here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, is make it a goal to complete one. Because that gives you the whole year to experiment, to learn, to have some ups and downs, so that you don't get to your first event and have a rail and be like, oh, I didn't accomplish my goal. Does that make sense? How would you feel if you completed a beginner novice event with, we'll call it three clear phases, by the end of the year?
Like we were supposed to be.
Like what?
Like we bought to continue eventing, but we were actually better.
Okay. So a little bit like what Courtney said, you would feel like a real adventure.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that important to you?
That would make him happy.
Okay. You feel happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be fun, but it's not fun if you don't feel you belong.
Okay. I am having fun and feel happy. Okay. You're ready to write this down? You know the drill.
Yep.
I confidently complete a beginner novice event with three clean phases.
Okay.
I feel like a real eventer, and we can start working on the novice level. I'm happy and having fun.
Okay,
so read that to me.
I confidently complete a beginner novice event with three clean visits. I feel like real adventure, and we can start working on novice level progression. I'm happy and having fun.
How does that feel to you to say it out loud?
Good. Excited.
So it makes you feel excited.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to go ahead, we're still having a little bit of trouble hearing you, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to point out a couple things about this goal that are important. When you go through the module and you go through making your strategic plan, one of the things I talk about with goals is that there's two components to a good, powerful goal. One is a measurable result and one is the intention. So for everybody now, Lorraine's measurable result is that she's completed a beginner novice horse trials with three clear phases. And of course we mean having a good dressage test and double clears in both. And you might even modify that. Like if you have a rail, I don't think you'll be devastated. But anyway, that is the intention. So she would be able, the measurable result, she would be able to call me up and say, Jen, I did it. I just did it. It happened. She can check it off her list. That's a measurable result. The intention is that she feel like an eventer, that she have fun and that she feel happy and a sense of accomplishment. So that's important. And what I want to say about this is Lorraine, if you did not set this goal, it would not take you on this journey. You are, because you're setting a stretch goal for yourself, it's going to take you somewhere. It's going to take you on a journey. And I can guarantee you, you're going to get a lot closer to this intention than you ever would if you didn't bother to set the goal at all because you were afraid it wouldn't happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So if you decide, oh, I didn't make it last year, so I'm not going to set it again this year, you got to ask yourself, what are you going to miss out on if you don't set this goal? I mean, I had a goal when I was like 18 of getting my gold medal. I don't have my gold medal. I'm almost 50. And I keep setting it as a goal. It's still a goal. I've had horses die. I've had horses sold. I've started a new business. I had a kid. All this stuff happened. And those are, you know, they could be reasons or excuses. But my life path has not got me that gold medal yet. But here's the deal. It's taken me on a journey, and it is still taking me on a journey that I would not trade for anything. So just because I haven't yet got my gold medal doesn't mean that that goal hasn't been super important in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So go forth, and now that you have this goal, you can start thinking strategically about what your plan is, and you can use all of your knowledge that you gained from the performance project before and from going through it again now to construct a strategy that is going to take you forward to accomplish this goal. All right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I so appreciate you being willing to get coached.
Thank you so much, Jen.
You're welcome. Keep enjoying California.
I will.
Okay, Courtney Secor, go ahead, and if you are on the line, jump on. Another Courtney. I love it. Courtney, are you there? And we're going to have time to do Courtney and Barbie. So, Barbie, be ready if you're there. Courtney, are you there? Nope. Is that you? Courtney, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
hi, Jen.
Tell us. Hi. Tell us what your kind of set up your question and what
yes.
you want out of this conversation.
So, similar to Lorraine, I have a. Last year, my big goal was to get my second level scores towards my bronze medal, and I missed it by 1 percentage point, and so it was a bummer, but I also learned a ton of things and feel like, oh, wow, like I didn't hit the goal, but I learned a lot about showing and my training strategies and all that other stuff. So I was able to kind of turn around in my head to say that it wasn't a failure, but I feel this kind of anxiety about writing down again that my goal is to get my second level scores by the end of August. And just wondering if I should be rephrasing that, but what
yeah.
you just shared about your gold medal made me feel so much better to be like, yeah, I don't, like, Jen's not a failure. So,
thank you.
Anyway.
Luckily, I didn't need it. I've been telling myself I'm not a failure, Sue, for many years. So, so what was your takeaway from Lorraine, the conversation I just had with Lorraine?
I think the big one was that this, where I'm sitting right here on January 8th is really different than where I was sitting in January 2019 and what I learned from last year's show season and what I learned about competing and about riding in the show ring versus schooling at home is really different.
Yeah.
So I do
yeah.
have different tools in my toolbox that I'm going into this goal with this year. I also have
yeah.
some different challenges, not having a regular coach and no longer having access to the clinicians that I've been bringing in on a regular basis. And so that there's like some new hurdles as well as new tools in the toolbox. So it feels like a really different year for me.
So if you were going to
yeah.
follow, you know, what I told Courtney, the other Courtney, and say, okay, I'm going to really just focus on what I want. I'm not going to focus on the hurdles because the goal
yep.
is about what you desire, not how you're going to get there. What will your goal be?
My goal will be to get my second level scores towards my bronze by the end of August. And it's also one of the clarifying things from last year that I have is I don't want to just squeak by. I don't want it to be, I got it by 0.1% and like maybe the judge had just eaten lunch and was feeling really comfy and
really
thought
generous.
My horse was cute. Yeah, like I
okay.
want it to be not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Like I want to feel
okay.
like I really
so what
showed
word
proficiency
would you use
at the
to
level.
Describe that? Would it is it beyond proficiency? Is it I have mastery at second level, or I have what is it that you want to feel about second level? Is it confidence? Is it what is it?
Yeah, I think that I've demonstrated mastery of the skills required for second level.
Okay, I love it. I demonstrate mastery of skills for second level, and I get my scores.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the intention? Why does that matter?
Sorry, I'm just writing quickly. I'll finish writing that in a second. So for me, I'm an adult amateur who has a horse that I got at the foal. I have a little bit of my itty bitty shitty committee is like, oh, you're not a real trainer. You're just somebody who has two horses to ride. And by demonstrating that I can bring a horse up through the levels, it gives me the confidence to say like, no, I am a legitimate trainer, even though I don't do this professionally.
Love it. So I have brought my own horse up through the levels. And am a legitimate trainer. And when we say trainer, we don't, that a professional trainer is someone who does it for a living. A trainer is someone who rides a horse intentionally and well, right? Mm-hmm. So don't, you can own that, that you are the trainer of your horse, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm not going to make you say it out loud just for the sake of time, because I feel like you really got
yep.
it. So are you willing to set this as a goal, set aside the barriers and save those for the strategy part? When you get to strategy, you listen to the strategy audio, you go through the strategy part of the workbook. But when you're doing the goals, you're really focused on what do I desire? And I love
I've
what you said.
I've already penned it in.
You know, you, good.
It's an ink.
Good, good. And I love
it's
what
a
you
goal.
Said. You know, you're at a different place now. You have different resources. You have new experiences. You have new. So it's not, oh, I'm going to set the same goal I had last year and just see if I can make it happen this year. Mm-hmm. No, it's I'm this dream, this goal is drawing me forward. I'm in a new place. I'm spiraling up and I'm going to set this goal again.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome.
I'll let you jump to the next person. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Barbie, are you on the call? Hello, hello. I just accidentally muted myself. Barbie, are you there? Press *6. Okay, maybe Barbie's not here. So Barbie, if you are there, go ahead and still press *6, but I'm going to move on to Megan Moran. Megan, are you on the line? Press *6 if you are. Megan Moran. Oh. Megan, is that you or is this Barbie?
It's Barbie. Sorry.
Hi, Barbie. That's all right. That's all right. I'm glad you got through.
Yes. Got
so lay out for us what you want out of this conversation and kind of what your scenario is.
Well, truthfully, this is the beauty of these calls. You've pretty much addressed what I have been worrying about through your conversations with the previous riders, especially the woman that you just spoke to. You know, over and over, you've emphasized that just set the goal. Don't worry about it. Just set the goal. And
yes.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop worrying about what I did last year and trying to live up to what we did last year. If we don't, I'll be the only person who notices anyway. So
that's right. That's what we forget, isn't it? That no one else is watching us and checking our scores and, you know,
yeah.
judging us the way we are judging ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, and you know, I had done the TPP before, but I hadn't gone back to my old notes and I'd forgotten that, you know, I need to set a goal and have an intention, a measurable goal and have an intention And so my goal is going to be, my goals are going to be, qualify one horse for Lamplight at, in the Pre-St. George Intermediate 1 Championship and be in the top five there. And the other is to start showing my new mare Grand Prix and put a freestyle together and show her at Devon in the freestyle in September. And I don't even have a freestyle for either one of them, so there's a lot of logistical stuff to figure out, but those are the goals.
Okay, and great. So can I just say that back to you just to make sure I'm clear and you're clear? So George and I are top five in the I-1 in qualifying for – do you want to be top five in the competition or top five in the qualification process?
At the competition.
Okay, we're top five in the I-1 championships at Lamplight.
Yeah.
Okay. And I compete my mare at Grand Prix at Devon in the freestyle.
Yeah.
And how would you describe that? What do you want that experience to be like for her or for you?
Devon?
Yeah.
Well, Devon is such a great show. It's so, I've shown there quite a few times with an earlier horse, and that night is like no other show in the U.S. It's so electric that the air is crackling around you as you go in there.
Yeah.
And your music starts and it just carries you away. And it is so great, unless it's raining or they're having a hurricane. But other than that, it's nice. And so I will only take her if I have found that she is okay with big venues. You know, it may be that that's too big a venue. But
yeah.
You know, because I've never shown her. We'll find out.
So you want it to be a confidence building for her. This year, yes, you're going to be showing her Grand Prix, but it's really about building her confidence gradually up to being able to handle that electric environment.
Yes, which is
so
why
we could add that into your goal, right, is I have built her up gradually to being able to be confident in that electric environment.
Yeah, which is why I don't have a goal as far as where we place or what we score because, you know, that's a big venue, and it can be, get it got very scary for George last year, and he'd been all over the place.
Yeah.
So, So I'll have to take, you know, there'll be logistical stuff. I've got to take her to indoor shows and stuff like that, to big venues to get her ready. And
But, so one of the things you said in your question on the, you know, on your comment that I want to address because I think it's so important is you did accomplish your goals last year. In that, and I'll tell the group, like one of your goals was to have a new experience as a competitor, not only to qualify for the developing Pre-St. George at Lamplight, but have fun doing it and to not beat yourself up and not feel all the stress and pressure, right? And you did accomplish that and more. I mean, you did better than you had dreamed, right? And so what I heard you say is, okay, I know I need to set another goal, but gosh, what if I don't live up to that? Like, that was amazing. How, you know, what if I set a goal this time and I don't do that? You know, it doesn't happen that way. And so it's the same question Courtney had, right? It's, but it's just a slightly different angle on it, that even if you have great success, you don't want to stop yourself from asking for more success because in your, you make up something in your head about not deserving it, or maybe you'll be disappointed if you didn't make it. So I think your takeaway is great. Your takeaway, you said, is just that you just set the goal. You just do it, and you let your strategy then be the thing that takes you through all the self-doubt and the fear to the other side of it.
Yeah. And what we worked on privately so many times was, you know, the thought process at a show. You know, why am I going to the show? And it was always to just be there with my horse and sprinkle George dust all over the crowd and, you know, just focusing on that and giving him what he needs. And that took me over and over again, right out of my head and into riding well. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, I don't know what you've done with your riding, but you should keep doing it.
Well, you should tell them.
I did.
One of the most wonderful things I remember coming out of one of our conversations, I want to share this with the group because it almost brought me to tears at the time, was at some point you decided that part of your goal was to give other people the experience, have them experience joy when they watched you ride. And that totally shifted you from just worrying about all the great riders who you thought were better than you, worrying about the judge, all that, but just your, what you were going to do was give other people joy because they would watch you and think, oh my gosh, it must be amazing to ride that horse. And yeah. I think for all of us that that is something, that's a wonderful mantra or a way to think is, I want other people to feel joyful when they watch me ride. Yeah. That's such a great expansive, you know, way to go into a competition.
And that can happen at any level. I know there was a woman in our TPP group last time who did a freestyle. She really wanted to do a freestyle. And I think she's in New Jersey and she did one. And she was so delighted. I thought, boy, I wish I had seen that because the joy that she would have been radiating would have been so great to watch. And so I think she was second level, maybe. It's not about the level. It's about the joy.
Yeah. And all the stuff that she overcame. And then she got, I think, the amateur championship for her freestyle. And she never thought she could do a freestyle. And it was because she had the courage to set that goal. So that's what I want everybody to hear tonight is have the courage to set the goal rather than worrying about the emotions that you're having that are the result of all the negative self-talk.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbie, for sharing that. And onward. I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see. It is 7:15. So what I'm going to do, and this is, you guys will find this is kind of what happens. Those of you who need to go can go, and I am going to stay on. We've got just a few more people here, and I don't mind staying on. I don't want all of you to feel like you have to stay on. You can leave and go about your business, and you can listen to the end of this recording later if you want to. But I am, if Megan and Amy, if you want to stay on, I'll do two more. And then for the other three, I'm going to keep you guys and be sure and address you on the Facebook group for Colleen, Ellen, and Christine. We're going to address you on the Facebook group or on the next call. So Megan, and so for everybody, thank you for being here. I really, really appreciate, especially those of you that came on and wanted coaching because you're giving a great gift to everyone else. All right, Megan, it looks like you're here. So I'm going to mute Barbie and okay, is this Megan?
This is.
Yay! Hi.
Hello.
So set us up. What do you want out of this conversation?
I would like some positive imagery and a mantra or something that I can say in my head to block out the negative when I go to ride my horse. So I kind of had my original question, which got answered thanks to all the other coaching that happened earlier in this call. I actually feel really good about my next steps regarding anxiety and how to move forward when I feel overwhelmed with like setting goals. So thank you to everybody. And then hearing everyone else's comments about riding specific, I realized that that's actually what I need to address now.
Okay.
Great. So I have a 9-year-old Frisian sport horse mare. She and I came to be a team when she just turned 5. So I've had her about 5 years now, and she was very green and didn't trust people and didn't really want to be ridden or have anything to do with riding at all, which was kind of funny because I have dressage goals for her and myself. And over the last 5 years, we've grown tremendously from a horse that had no ground manners and would buck you off when you tried to get on to actually we're doing some basic flat work now. And we have a lot of connection with each other. We have a great bond. She has beautiful ground manners. She has wonderful gaits that are developing in her flat work. But we still have those moments where I always refer to it as we slid backwards. We took 2 steps forward and we slid 3 steps back. She's very sensitive. She'll be spooky. She gets frustrated when we try to learn new things, or she'll get still bucky when I ask for the canter and all these different pieces. So I keep feeling like rather than always focusing on the future, I keep reliving our past story. And so, you know, she gets a little jazzy and I'm like immediately going, oh my gosh, when I swing my leg over the saddle, she's going to buck me off again. Well, we haven't had that problem for 8 months, but yet I keep reliving it and I'm tired of reliving our story. I want to build on it, on where we're at now and then moving to the future.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Great. So, yep. So if I'm understanding you right, when something happens, if she does something that sort of reminds you of something scary that happens in the past, you immediately, it triggers a thought of, oh my God, that's going to happen again. And then that triggers in you, what emotion, how do you feel when that happens?
My heart starts pounding. I get super anxious. I've mustered so much courage and in working with her. So I always manage to overcome that anxiety and that fear of like, I still do it anyways. But I feel like it kind of, I lose trust. I lose trust in her. And then I take that into our ride and it takes both of us because then she feeds off of me. And it's like this.
Okay. So it's anxiety. It's anxiety.
Yeah, it's anxiety. And I feel out of control, you know, because they are animals.
Okay.
They do have a mind of their own.
Yep.
I can't prevent her from spooking or bucking, but then it's like a fear of, well, I'm not a good enough trainer.
Okay. So it's anxiety and fear. So I really want you to simplify this here. So she does something. And it triggers the thought of, oh my God, this is going to happen again, or kind of here we go again kind of thing. All the bad things might happen. That triggers anxiety and fear. And then what does the anxiety and fear cause you to do?
Like, what do you mean? Like, be stiff in my body?
What are the results? What are the results you're getting from that dynamic that you don't want to get anymore? What is actually happening when you feel anxiety and fear? What is happening then? Is it keeping you from moving forward? Are you kind of having to stay in the same place in your training? Is it making you cause her, is making you clench up and cause her to be anxious? Is it like, what is happening?
So it's both of those. It is, I definitely get stiff and tense in my body, and then she likewise mimics that and gets tense and anxious and worried too of like what's going on.
Okay.
And I'm so concerned that we're going to go backwards that it's hard to move forward because I'm so like sensitive and cautious and I'm focusing on trying to prevent things rather than like, oh, if I ask something new, this might happen. So I'm timid about it.
Would you make a list? I want everybody to listen to this because this is really, really important, and we're going to be going over really getting deeper into this next month. So the first thing that's happening, write this down. The thing that's happening is that she spooks. That's the circumstance. Okay. That's what's happening, the situation. The next thing that's happening is you have a thought. You are having a negative thought. And that negative thought is, oh my God, something bad is going to happen. I don't trust her anymore. Is that right?
Yes.
And then the emotion that triggers is fear and anxiety. And the fear and anxiety is causing you to not move forward in your riding. Okay, it causes physical things in that moment, and it causes you to translate negative things to her, and then it keeps you in old negative cycles. So that basically leads to you not moving forward. All right, so if you want to change this dynamic, the circumstance is going to stay the same. She's still going to spook. Right? She's always going to spook.
Yep.
It's always going to happen. She's always going to have those days. So she spooks. The thing you have control of in this dynamic is your thoughts. Right? So what are you going to think instead? What would you like to think when she spooks?
That it's okay. Like it's just, I have a very good seat as a rider and, that even like she's not going to bolt and take off because she doesn't do that, but that we can just shake it off, just move on. Like I don't have to dwell on it.
Okay. Awesome. So how about something like I'm here for you. I have a good seat. We're good. So that you're saying something to yourself, and this is what makes riding more complex in terms of mental performance skills than other sports. You know, the complexity of what you say to yourself quite often, fear is a huge it creates a wall between you and your horse. It separates you from the horse. Immediately when she spooks and you go into fear, you are gone from her. She has no support. She's all alone. Does that make sense? Like, suddenly she's got to make all the decisions. She's got to figure out whether to be afraid or not. If she spooks and she feels like, oh my God, Megan is here. She's right there for me. Her seat is still there. Her legs are on. She's still with me. She's hugging me. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm here for you. I've got you. I've got a good seat. That is going to have a completely different effect. What's going to happen is you're going to roll over that spook and it's going to be done. If you let yourself keep going into that old cycle triggered by the thought of, oh my God, it's going to happen again, I don't trust you, then that's going to keep happening over and over. But if you change the thought, it's going to, what is the emotion that is created in you when you think about saying to her, hey, I've got you, I'm here for you, I've got a good seat? What's that emotion?
It makes me smile that we're building on that partnership, that you're not alone. We're not alone. We're in this together. It's a very warm, fuzzy, like we've got this. We can do this.
Yeah,
we're
great. So that creates a sense of partnership and camaraderie and confidence in you, right, those thoughts. So what are your actions then going to likely be?
I'll be relaxed. I won't tense up. And I'll just move forward from it instead of shortening my reins and then making it worse.
Okay. So here's what I want to say to you. So this is a great, and this is what I call the fear cycle, or the dynamic of going from fear to power, which is what we're going to talk about next month. The fear cycle for you is that cycle of something bad happening, it triggering a negative thought, it triggering an emotion you don't want to have, and the emotion triggering a result that you don't want to have happen. The power cycle is the same circumstance happens, but instead you have an empowering, intentional thought. It generates a positive, high energy state emotion, and that allows you to transform your results into the results that you want to have happen. Okay. Is that a clear shift in your mind? Do you think you can put that into practice?
Absolutely. And does that work with other things too that cause anxiety or fear in the saddle? Just come up with.
Yep. It works with everything in your life. Every single thing, it works. So seriously, anything, any circumstance that happens in your life, the emotions you have around it are generated by your thoughts. So whatever happens to you in your life, you can change your experience and change your results by changing your thoughts about that thing, changing your perspective on it. Because the perspective shift is that, you know, you go from thinking the spook means she's bad or she's going to go back to being bad, to the spook is normal. It means she's a normal horse and I'm going to do my job, right? That's a different, totally different perspective. So the thoughts represent a new perspective.
Right. Okay.
So that is a resounding yes. Practice this in all, you know, and you can make those two lists for all different things. The next time you feel fear or anxiety about anything, make that list.
Okay.
Okay, so excellent. Did you get what you wanted out of the conversation?
Yes, thank you so much, Jen.
You are so welcome. Thank you for contributing and being willing to be coached.
Awesome.
All right, bye-bye. All right, one more. Let's do Amy. Are you still on the line, Amy? If you're still here, let's do it. Press *6. Amy. And I totally understand if you have to go. Oh, there she is. All right. Hi, Amy. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes. I've got you. Okay, outline for us what you want out of this conversation and kind of what your scenario is.
Well, just like everyone else, I think you've answered a lot of my question just from talking to other people, but it's a lot about how to transform the self-doubt into something positive. And I think for me specifically, like on the Facebook thing I said, I'm a sensitive person and I absorb other people's energy.
Mm-hmm.
How can I become independent and create my own energy and own it and repel everyone else's energy so I stay on track?
Yeah. And that's a great question, because a lot of people who are empathic, you know, who kind of are able to sense what other people are feeling, it's really easy to take that on. And also, if you are very concerned about what other people think and how other people feel, it's very easy to take that on. So can you give me like a specific example of where that is getting in your way or stopping you from doing something you want to do?
I think with horse things, like right now I don't have a rideable horse, and I'm riding some horses for other people, training for other people, but I kind of, like what someone said earlier, I don't feel like a real trainer. Like, I don't have a Facebook page with all my credentials, and I don't have sponsors, so I'm not a real trainer. I'm letting all of that stuff, other people's expectations, get in the way of what I know I can do.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. Because, and this is almost the identical conversation I just had with Megan. When you said I'm letting other people's opinions and expectations stop you, what I would say is that you are letting your own thoughts about what those people might be thinking get in your way.
Exactly. Because I know I can do this, but then I start doubting myself. Like, oh, well, maybe I haven't done it for a really long time. I'm not sure I really can do it anymore. Maybe I can't do it as well.
Yeah. So there's your own self-doubt. And then there's also your assumption about what other people might be thinking that you sort of use. Like your self-critic is sort of, your inner critic is sort of using that as an excuse. Well, other people might think this about me.
Yeah.
So anytime, I always like to say, anytime we think, we're thinking about what other people, we think other people think about us, is usually the things we deep down worry about ourselves. They're our deepest fears about ourselves. So there's two pieces of it. One, those people are not thinking those things. That is an assumption that you are making. So that's your own thoughts. Uh-huh. And then two, it's not the situation that's making you feel the fear and doubt. It's the thoughts you are having about the situation. Does that make sense?
Yes. And
so
I
the situation
that up on
is
conversations with other people. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's all in my head.
Yeah, it is all in your head. So what is the situation is, if I'm understanding it correctly, the situation is that you want to make riding and training a part of your life again, riding, teaching, training. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so riding, teaching, training is going to be a part of your life again. That's the situation. The thoughts that you are having that are triggering, well, what are the thoughts you're having? The thoughts you're having are other people might be thinking, and I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm good enough.
I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've proven that I can do it. Will people believe that I can do it?
Okay, so, and I'm not even going to put that one down because that just doesn't not matter. Who cares? You know, that's where your inner coach voice, the one that's like in charge of all this, has to just say, screw you. I don't care if other people believe I can do it. Whether other people believe you can do it or not has zero bearing on whether you can do it or not. Just like whether I believe in God or not has zero bearing on whether there's God.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, it just doesn't matter. So we're not even going to put that down. We're not even going to give that any attention. Okay, so the situation is you are going to have horses and training and teaching in your life again. The thoughts are that maybe you won't be able to do it and other people might think A, B, and C, all the self, you know, the self inner critic stuff. The emotion is what? What is that emotion?
Fear, I guess.
Yep.
Lack of confidence.
Fear.
I mean.
And then what is that leading to? What are the results you're getting because of that fear?
Insecurity. I don't give my full effort because I'm afraid it won't work out.
So when you don't give your full effort, what happens?
I feel.
Not how you feel. What happens?
Oh.
We know how
I'm
you feel.
I'm not satisfied with what I've done.
Okay, that's still how you feel.
Still
what are the actual results? The actual results you want are that you are teaching, riding, and training again.
Uh-huh.
What are
I'm
the results
doing
you're getting?
I'm still doing those things, but not being satisfied with them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So basically, that's even easier, right? Because you're already doing what you want to be doing. So the result is then a sense of satisfaction. And if you feel satisfied instead of dissatisfied and afraid, what is going to change about what is possible for you in your life if you felt confident and satisfied and good about what you were doing?
I would probably try more things, try harder things, push my limits more.
What are some things that are out there that you would love to try?
I want to get into dressage. I've been an eventer forever. That's not my calling anymore. I want to, if I was going to set a crazy goal, I don't even have a horse right now, but I would get a horse and I want to get my bronze medal.
Okay, fantastic. So we're going to, so right now the dynamic is that you want to be, you want to get, that's actually the situation is that you want to be, you are involved in training, riding, and teaching. That is the situation. The
yeah.
thoughts are that you're not good enough, that other people think A, B, and C, blah, blah, blah. That triggers fear. The fear keeps you from setting goals. So it keeps you from moving forward and it keeps you feeling unsatisfied, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're going to change that, the situation is the same. You're still teaching, riding, and training. What are the thoughts you are going to now intentionally have about that?
I can do it. I know what I know, and I'm going to work towards learning more.
Excellent. I can do it. I know what I know. And you know what? I'm worthy of learning more. I am good and I want to get better. Like that attitude, instead of, ooh, I don't know if I'm very good, so I don't know if I can get any better. It's like, I am good and I'm going to get, and I want to get better.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So if you were thinking those thoughts, Amy, what would be the results or what would be the emotion that you would be in then as a result of, I can do it, I'm good and I want to get better?
Confidence and drive to achieve more.
Awesome. So confidence, motivation.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. So if you were feeling confident and motivated, what are the results that you would get?
The results I would get, I would do what makes me happy and feel good about it and not give a crap what anybody else thinks.
So you would set goals that you were important, that are important to you, and you would achieve them. So your
yeah.
goal, it when you're doing your strategic plan right now, I mean, is it real? Would you want to have purchased a horse or somehow gotten yourself or leased a horse or whatever it is by the end of the year or in the next 6 months? Or what would kind of be a time frame that would make sense to you in terms of having gotten yourself a dressage horse to ride or a horse that you can turn into a dressage horse?
We're also trying to move at the same time, so it's like I can't pile too much on. But
yeah,
that's my what I've figured out in cutting out the riffraff and looking at just what makes me go. I want to do dressage, so I'm going to need a horse to do dressage with. And I think a
okay.
year with all the other nonsense going on is reasonable.
Okay, so would you trust now that you can go ahead and set that goal of getting yourself riding dressage on a dressage horse by the end of the year?
Yes.
And trust that you can work through all this other stuff by reframing this dynamic and that you can do it pretty darn quickly. This
yes.
is not like 20 years of therapy. This is
right.
You can flip this script right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you leaving with? What's your takeaway, not only from your conversation here, but also hearing all the other ones?
All of my hangups are in my head.
Yay!
I need to
That's
focus
what I
on
want
the
everybody to leave
not
with.
Not on what
because,
I'm feeling.
Yeah, because if they're in your head, you have the power to change them. You can change
yeah. and also,
anything.
Also, what you said earlier, the 7 seconds for
thoughts.
Instinct, that is so, I'm so instinctual. I like that there's only
yeah.
7 seconds for me to do that, and then I have to move on to rational thought.
Yeah, yeah. And in order to be able to do that, you've got to have a plan. You know,
yeah.
you've got to have a plan. Okay, these are the thoughts I'm going to think. And so you can go to those when you are being habitually in the fear cycle. You
yeah.
want to have those thoughts planned out ahead of time. So I think that's really important. It's not, you know, I can't tell you, don't think those thoughts.
Right.
All I can say to you is, okay, this is what you're going to do next time. You're going to think these thoughts that you've come up with.
Yeah. Take control of your thoughts.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for being here, being willing to coach, and for jumping in and doing this. I know that,
yeah.
You know. It was a decision for you to be here. So
yeah, it's hard,
Thank
but it's
you.
Fun, and I'm excited. Thank you.
Good. All right. You are welcome. Okay, you guys, so I've got Colleen, Ellen, and Christine all on the list. Check in with me on the Facebook group, and I will get to you first next time if you still want to be coached on the Facebook group, or I would love for you to comment on the recording thread about what you got out of this, and maybe you can coach yourself based on having heard these. So that's going to kind of be our routine here. If you have a coaching question and you don't get on the call, I would love to hear from you how you ended up coaching yourself based on all the other conversations that you heard. Okay, so Colleen, Ellen, and Christine, I'd love to hear from you about that. All right, you guys, thank you for being here. I will see you in a month again for this call and be in connection with you regularly on the Facebook group. And keep it up. Really, really great first week. All right, take care. Bye-bye.